Hello, some would call me Tim, but they'd be wrong, because that'd be a Monty Python reference. My name is Crash, sometimes called Aaron, and tonight I will be DMing a short little adventure where I do horrible things to people, and they get mad at me for it. These people include such diverse elements as... Logan, who will you be playing tonight?
I am Fennec Shamashbax Norcruz Generalis II, a Dragonborn Paladin.
Okay, I cannot clap and hit my push-to-talk button at the same time, but let it be known that I was clapping with the push-to-talk button not pressed. I am impressed, sir. Thank you. Thank you for that. So for those of you who listen to this after the fact, I did let Logan know his character's full name after the adventure last week. So the party doesn't know this name, but the player who plays the character knows. And that's worth something. We also have Matt. Matt, who are you playing tonight?
I am playing Aristobulus Ravenscroft, human wizard.
And last but certainly not least, we have Jen. Jen, who will you be playing tonight?
I am playing Meepo Chippedclaw, a kobold sorcerer.
Okay, and Jen, like me, has a website. Jen, where can we find you?
You can find almost everything I do at Book of Jen, which is bookofjen.net. It's got a bunch of blogs and a podcast and another one coming up.
Fantastic. And I'm not giving my web address because if you're listening to this, you probably already know it. All right, so let's start off the scene. Last week, your party took what is essentially a train, although the person who created it had a... whose name was Ed, for short. My cat is making all kinds of racket in the background. The mic is probably picking it up. A gnome named Ed created a train, and you used that to get to a coastal mining town called Oregano. O-R-E apostrophe G-A-N-O.
So, you are a horrible person.
I am. This has been established. Also, I'm not the one who came up with that name. I will reveal more information about that at a later time. This particular town, there was one of those little kiosk things on the train on your way there that had little brochures for visit scenic and insert name of town here. So you picked up one of the ones for Oregano, and it you skipped over most of it because it was all like tourist trappy stuff, although the mini golf course sounded kind of nice. It's thematic. There was a pretty cool looking windmill, which is really weird for a mining town that is entirely underground. Apparently the town started off above ground, but as they continued to mine the rock salt, it started to be further and further away from where they built their settlement, and it just sort of saved time to have it be underground. So that's the main deal about it. The dwarves are okay with it because there was a representative for the dwarves that happened to be on site. So you arrive, and Ed lets you know that it's probably going to be a few days before he's taking off again because it takes some time to unload all of the goods that he brought to Oregano, and then to load up all of the mined rock salt that he then takes back to Idano and sells to traveling merchants for a hefty profit, he might add. He's quite proud of this. But it takes a few days. No maintenance on the train and stuff. So if you want to leave your stuff on the train, you can. If you want to get a room at the inn, you can. But as he's telling you this, you notice that there is a procession of dark-clad townsfolk going past the train and off into an area of this cave system that you're in. Away from where you can see the houses. There's houses over on one side, and there's an area that is not houses on the other side. They're heading towards the area that is vacant of domiciles.
Sounds like something to look upon.
Okay.
Let us follow the crowd, as it were.
Okay. You do so. As you get closer, they do have light sources with them. You're not in pitch blackness. Several of them are carrying lanterns. They do appear to be also carrying a coffin. From the size of the coffin, you are assuming that it is not a human in it. Maybe a child, but if it's a child, they're a rather wide child, so you're guessing it's probably a dwarf inside the coffin. They are all acting very somber. There's no one wailing and crying horrendously, as you might see in a very theatrical funeral. In this case, they're all being just very quiet. You don't see a minister or cleric or anyone that you would... If there is one, they're not wearing something that identifies them visually as someone who fits that role. But there is one individual who has a metal badge that's pinned to the front of a vest that he's wearing. I should also mention that everyone you see appears to be human. If there's anyone that is elvish or half-elvish, it would be... You can't tell because some of the hairstyles cover the tops of their ears. There is... Most of the villages that you've visited have shown a heterogeneous group of ethnicities. So, like, Coombridge was mostly people who were Caucasian with either red or blonde hair for the most part, with very little variation. This town appears to have a more diverse group. Pretty much every skin tone that exists for humans is represented here. Although the ones who would be considered white are very, very pale. Like, they really spend their entire life in this cave as opposed to going out to the surface at any point. They don't seem to be visitors to the surface world so much.
Natives.
Exactly.
All right. I will move towards the man with the badge, as it were. Something pinned to his chest.
Yes.
All right. Good day, sir. I am Aristobulus Ravenscroft. May I ask who has deceased?
Oh, pleased to meet you. My name is Deputy, Sheriff, Sheriff Dente. Pleasure to make your acquaintance. Craig Bronzehammer. He was the sheriff. I guess I'm. Sorry. What was your name again?
Aristobulus.
Oh, Stabulus. Okay, I'm sorry.
Aristobulus Ravenscroft. It is all right. Call me Ari. It's much simpler.
Ari. Yes. Pleased to meet you. Pleased to meet you.
Pleased to meet you. Did the sheriff die of natural causes?
Getting your head crushed in is kind of natural. There was a cave-in.
Yeah. So an accident.
I'm hoping so. I don't know why he was in that particular cave. We blocked it off several years ago because of cave-ins. There was a lot of moisture in there, erosion, so... The salt walls weren't very stable, but he was investigating some other deaths that weren't so natural. So I'm not entirely sure, but it could have been. I don't know. It's my first day.
I've heard that before somewhere. It's all right. Calm down. Clearly, something is amiss here. My companions and I are adventurers, and we have certain skills and certain abilities that may perhaps be of some assistance to you in searching out what may have happened to your sheriff.
That's that very kind of you, sir. But with all due respect, and I just smacked my head against the microphone. I'm method acting here and acting with my body and changing my posture as I'm talking. And moving so I'm in the way of my equipment. With all the respect, sir, you literally are brand new in town, and we're kind of a close-knit community. The townsfolk here are probably not going to take too kindly of a bunch of strangers coming in and poking around.
That may be. But we would be impartial in any investigation. Certainly some strangers have no preconceived notions about what occurred, and thus anything we find might be helpful.
Yeah, I concede your point. I do. But that's kind of just it. You don't know the townsfolk, sir. So your lack of preconceived notions might actually be a detriment, not a benefit.
Fair enough. We're going to be in town a few days. Should you need any assistance? I am a wizard of sorts, quite adept in certain magics. If you find you need magical assistance, please feel free to call upon me, and I will attempt to endeavor what aid you need.
Okay. While you've been talking, they have reached the grave that they've already dug for the ex-sheriff, Craig Bronzebottom. Bronze Hammer. I'm going to have to write that down because I made that name up on the spot.
his name was Dante?
Dente.
Dente.
Yes.
Like
pasta.
Yeah, Al.
Yes, his first name is Al. How'd you do
that? Al, and there we go, yeah.
I thought his name was going to be Pepper.
Not every name in this adventure is going to be a pun. That you know of.
Okay.
Okay, so Craig Bronzehammer. Now, I will remember that name for later. So, I don't say a different name later and you're like, who? What was that? Okay.
Okay.
So they lowered the casket into this hole that they've dug already, the grave that was already dug. There's already a tombstone in place, and they've just started shoveling what passes for dirt, which is actually kind of just loose rock pebbles and a significant amount of salt crystals. There's pretty much salt crystal everywhere in here. This cave was mined out at some point, but from the looks of it, quite some time ago. But as they're doing that, who has the highest passive perception among you? What's your passive perception, everyone?
Ari's is a 14.
I'm trying to find that.
It'd be near the top of your character sheet.
Okay. Under abilities? No. Skills?
It's the same row with your name on it.
Goes for okay. Yeah. 11. 11.
Okay. And, Logan, yours is 10.
Yours is 10. Sorry.
Okay. So, in the order that I asked you, that's the order that you start to notice a low rumbling sound that's coming from the bottom up. And this catches you, Ari, in mid-sentence as you were finishing up your discussion. And after you notice, Sheriff Dente notices too. And he's like, oh no, not again. And the ground falls out from underneath you.
Oy. Oh.
I need everyone to roll a... I'm going to say a dexterity check.
Which dice is that?
So you roll a d20.
20, got it. Okay.
And whatever your dexterity modifier is,
okay,
you add that to it.
I have rolled a 6, and...
That's not going to pass, because your modifier is not
modifier is 1.
Yeah, that makes it a 7. This is not going to save.
Okay. All right,
Ari has a 16 total.
I rolled a 2.
Okay, so that's fantastic, because that means the wizard is not going to take max damage.
That's always a good thing.
Yes, although the sorcerer still is.
Yeah, that's bad.
So
if I'm falling, would the umbrella hat reduce damage?
Slow fall? That's right. You've got your slow fall hat. I forgot. I keep forgetting about the thing that I made for Meepo.
Yeah.
It's a homebrew item. I literally had to craft its abilities. And I keep forgetting I handed that out. Okay, so so you want to activate your umbrella?
Yes.
Okay, so as the ground gives out underneath you and rocks are coming in from above, rocks are literally falling. Hopefully, we won't have everyone die. you activate your umbrella, and that sort of slows your descent a little bit. So I will interpret this as you making this save. You're still going to take some damage because there's rocks coming down above you also.
Okay.
Moving slower doesn't stop them.
Right.
So,
but she at least doesn't slam into the ground underneath.
That's good thinking. Okay, so Fenix takes 7 points of damage.
And a few cracked ribs.
And Ari takes 5. And Meepo takes 2.
Okay.
What happens if someone rolled a natural 20?
Then they would have taken half damage. All right, so you fall a considerable distance. It's not a straight downfall. You sort of hit an incline, and you slide for a while on all this debris that's going with you. Whee. And yes. thank you. The DM has to stop and compose himself, because he was not expecting a wee from that particular player. it eventually settles, and you are half buried in this stuff that you came down with you. You know that you are in some kind of chamber because you're only half buried. Half of you is encountering air, but you can't see anything. So at this point, I would like everyone to roll a strength check. It could be, if you've got, strength athletics. So,
yeah,
what dice is that?
Anytime you're doing a check, it's going to be a d20.
Okay, that I can do.
Yes, and if you have athletics, you add that. If you don't have athletics, you add your strength modifier.
Okay.
All those years in the library, I really didn't develop athletics, so...
But books are heavy, so you might have some strength.
I have an 11.
20. 25.
I rolled a 6 again. Somehow. And,
okay.
And Ari got a 10.
Athletics I have almost a 10 on, so.
And Meepo has a negative strength modifier, so that's
right,
six, I think,
so
is
it's
2 at this point.
It's a, yeah. Well, it's a...
No, 4.
Modifier is a 2, negative 2?
Yeah, I was going off of memory, but never mind about that. Okay, so Ari, you are buried up to the waist in loose salt crystals and rock. Meepo, you are also buried up to the waist the same
way,
except
out?
You're... Well, your
kobolds up tunnel.
They do. It goes up to your waist.
Oh.
But your legs are free.
Oh.
You're upside down.
Head first.
Okay.
Logan, on the other hand, with his frickin' +7 to athletics. I'm sorry, not Logan. Fenix, who is played by Logan, with his frickin' +7 to athletics, just sort of like bursts out of this rubble pile. Kind of wishes he had Vex's Cloak of Billowing, because he'd be activating it right now, he can tell you. And flexes just a little bit immediately afterwards. But you are in a completely dark room. You cannot see your hand in front of your face. You do, however, smell a very strong alcoholic odor. And you
Take
don't
that, Ed.
And you don't have your cask anymore.
That's bad.
Wait, where are you in cask?
Your cask that had the gear grinder special in it?
No.
Tragedy.
That's like my favorite thing in the world.
It was like a son to him.
Sorry, Meepo, you're a second favorite.
Oh, ouch! Shots fired. Okay.
That
so,
could be a problem.
So this is the scenario. Ari, you have freedom of movement from the waist up. Meepo, you're half buried upside down. Fenix, you don't know where they are because you can't see a thing. Technically, neither can Ari. Meepo would, if her head was above.
If she wasn't, yeah.
We're gonna fix that. I'm going to use a light cantrip on my wand, and my wand of smiles, and let's light things up a little bit here and see what the heck happened.
Okay, so you light that up, and you can see that you're all roughly grouped together. It's only the three of you that you see. You don't know where anyone else that you saw on the surface. You don't see the sheriff. You don't see Vex. You don't see Obame. It's just the three of you. You don't see Punk, although he's kind of short, so he might be further down. Fenix, you can see clearly now. The wand has come.
You're gonna special.
And you see Meepo's legs just sort of moving back and forth in the air.
Little help, please.
I gotta find the gear grinder special.
You find part of the keg. One of the hoops that goes around the outer edge of it. And your guess is that it burst open on the way down and it's completely... It's not salvageable. You also really shouldn't use your breath weapon in here is your best guess.
Yeah. No. Fire pad.
Well, you would make the cavern larger. Or very smaller.
Yeah. We don't want to bring any more of this down upon our heads.
All right, I want to try to get them out.
Okay. Who do you try to get out first?
Meepo.
That is a good choice, considering...
She isn't.
Meepo does not breathe rock.
Right.
Okay. Slightly more dire constraints.
Okay, so give me another athletics check.
Okay.
Yeah, so the die roll +7. Fenix, it's time to shine.
23.
Yep, you put one hand on each foot and just pull straight up, and you now are holding an upside-down Meepo several feet off the ground with an umbrella hat filled with rock.
Thank you for saving me.
Well... Now that you're my first favorite again.
You've been promoted.
You're moving up in the world. In this Yay. Case, literally. After you move down. Okay, give me another strength check for Ari.
As I'm trying to pull him out, I just say goodbye, Gear Grinder Special.
Oh, natural 20.
Yay.
Okay, wonderful. You are all free of the rubble. And it's shifting a bit. And it's shifting a bit more. And it's shifting. It's shifting a bit more than it,
this is
it
not good.
Should be from just creating some small cavities where people used to be. Now, let me describe this room a little bit. Oh my gosh, Akari is online, and Akari, are you participating or just staying muted?
It's up to you. I don't mind.
Well, we can add you in if you wish.
I am sober. Mostly.
This is a plus, but I would say it's up to you more than me.
I'm happy to join. My dice are here.
Okay. Well, yay. I just posted an image of the room. You are at the top end of it. Okay. Now, you'll notice that the color of the squares is blue.
Yes.
That is because, except for the area immediately around you that came in with that landslide that happened, most of this room is filled with, I'm going to use the word water, but because this is a salt mine, it's really a very, very thick brine. You can't see through it.
Okay. Lovely.
Yes.
Can we swim?
You don't even know how deep it is. Your guess is it's not too deep because this room does have some stalactites and stalagmites. Some of them have fallen over or been damaged in various ways. You're assuming from cave-ins. And with the curvature that you can see sticking up out of the water, your guess is that there's not that much under the water. Maybe half a foot, but you haven't exactly gone around and plumbed the depths at this point.
We need to get out of here. So
as the silt continues to shift, you do notice a boot that looks familiar.
Fenix?
Yeah.
I think we have another companion that fell down with us. See if you can extricate him from the silt.
Alright.
You rolled a 5?
No, I said alright.
Okay.
Wait, is it plus athletics or strength?
Athletics. That's what he said before.
Yeah, I'm allowing athletics for this. If someone doesn't have athletics, it'd be strength.
25.
Okay, you are now cradling in your arms one unconscious Vex. And Vex, if you so wish, give me a constitution check to see if this wakes you up.
That's a 6.
That was a 6?
6, yes.
Okay. Oh, and by the way, you took 6 points of damage from the fall.
Okay. Hit points, 1, 2.
Okay, so Vex is still unconscious, and now you're finding out why what you're standing on is still unstable. It's because something else was caught in this cave-in along with you, and it bursts out of the ground at this point. It does look somewhat injured, and it's got salt in the wounds, so ouch. It's not happy. It is less than happy. I am opening its stats. It looks like a large grub of some kind with giant eyes in the front of it, tentacles coming out around its mouth. Its mouth is a horror show of pedipalps and little pinchers. And it lunges towards the group on little legs that you're not entirely sure should be able to support its weight.
Clarification for the unconscious half-elf. I'm guessing no ship.
You're guessing what?
No ship.
No ship?
Ship, shepherd, puppy. Oof, oof, bark, bark.
Well, the party hasn't seen shepherd yet, so they don't know.
Swear to God.
If only I had gear grown special.
Yo, we have it. It's all around
it's
us.
It's all over the place, yes.
Yeah, one breath weapon, I guarantee you, you'll kill this thing.
It'll and everyone hard. Else.
Yes.
That's important safety tip.
It will not be a total party kill, however, because since two of the party members are currently AFK, they'll survive.
The rest of us are just make two characters.
There won't be any body left to resurrect.
Essentially, we need a
fine mist.
We need a level 19 druid at that point.
Okay, so at this point,
we have an angry, spidery looking thing at us.
It's more like a overgrown grub.
Oh, okay, like a worm.
Yes, but it does have legs. They're just really short legs.
So shoes off.
Okay, initiative rolls.
Is that a 20 again?
Yes, and I will call out individual names so I can write them down properly. Okay, Fenix.
14.
Okay. Next up, Vex.
15 for the unconscious half-elf.
Wow.
Well, when it's your turn, you get to roll another constitution save.
Yeah.
Ari.
Ari got a 20. Total of 20.
And Meepo, because of your dexterity, you have an initiative bonus of plus 1, which you can see on your sheet. So d20 roll plus 1.
Okay, so I got a 3 because my dice wants to kill me tonight, and plus 1 is 4.
Well, being at the top of the initiative is only really, really important for the first round. So
that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Good point. Mm-hmm.
Especially since our person in front is our spell guy.
That's true. Ari gets to go first. Ari, what would you like to do?
All right. Since I am not 100% sure what this thing is.
Actually, you can go ahead and give me a history check if you want.
I will do that. Because history is one of the ones I'm good at.
That
is a 16 on the die plus 7, so 23.
Okay, you've read about these. It is a carrion crawler. One of the nasty things that we're not quite sure how it got to Circulus, but it got here many, many millennia ago. There's been more than one recorded sighting of these things throughout the history of the Empire, and they did keep good records when they weren't destroying the records to keep their own narrative.
Ah, dictators.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Player again had a strong feeling of what it was, but I have to assume the character does not yet know. Okay, well.
Yep, I appreciate you for not metagaming, but at this point, yeah, you know what this is. It's a carrion crawler.
Yeah, carrion crawler, okay.
You know that it has the ability to paralyze its foes.
That could be bad.
Yes.
Okay. He's
only I had your grinder special.
He's a big ugly mug. Alright. Fire might be bad with all this alcohol around.
If you miss.
With the amount you smell, it might be you might not want to even light a match.
Okay. Well then, we're going to try to keep it simple. We're going to open up with the Melf's Acid Arrow. As a ranged spell attack. And that's a crit. Woo!
Woo!
I'm fairly certain that 20 does beat this thing's armor class, yes.
With my add-on of, spell attack is plus, hold on, let's see, what is it? 3, so it goes to 23. All right, so that means ranged spell attack, I get to double the damage, and Melf's acid arrow does 4d4 acid.
So that would be 8d4.
Yeah, that's going to hurt.
There's a lot of d4.
Yeah, I don't have that many. I do have 6.
I have 7, I think.
I had lost some over the years, so...
You'll find them anytime you're walking around your home at night.
Oh, that's the worst. I did that last night.
All right.
Worse than Legos.
2, 3, it's 5.
Oh, stepping on a Lego.
Exactly. It's
12.
Stepping on a D4 is worse than stepping on a Lego.
It's 15.
Two-pointer.
Two more. 18, and 2 is 20.
Can
20
you tell,
acid damage.
Can you tell that the party got to level 5? We had to pause to count D4 rolls. So 20 damage, you said.
20, yeah, 20 acid damage. I don't know if it necessarily takes more or less from another source. And then he will take 2d4 on his next turn.
Well, at this point, he's bloodied.
Damn.
This particular encounter was not meant to be an even match for the party before the overpowered ranger showed up.
I just love that you appreciate that I'm an overpowered ranger.
Yes.
Speaking of said overpowered ranger.
Speaking of overpowered rangers, Vex, it is your turn. Give me a constitution save to wake up.
That is a 16.
Okay, that wakes you up inside.
Save me from the nothing I've become.
And then I get a copyright strike. Awesome.
Sorry, that's my favorite. It's literally my favorite song. I apologize.
Don't apologize. That was the reaction I was going for. I cannot be upset when I got what I asked for. Okay, yeah. So you wake up cradled in a dragonborn's arms.
What a mess, big guy.
And there's no shepherd.
Oh no.
And you see half of shepherds. You see half of shepherds.
You don't, even see a tuft of fur.
Do I see the thing that that's attacking us at least?
Yes, I think it's safe to say everyone sees it.
Yeah, I have my wand. My wand's got a light spell on it right now.
Oh, I have dark vision, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm screwing that up.
Yeah.
No, because am I within 20 feet of him? I'm guessing. Yes, no.
Yeah, you're all within 20 feet of this thing.
Okay, then yes, you are.
Yeah, you're in a small corner of this cave, the only part of it that appears to be dry land.
Okay, well I dismount the dragonborn.
I we need fans so we can have fan art of Fenix wearing a saddle. On his back.
That was sad. You just said we need fans.
Well, everyone who I know listens to this show is currently part of the party.
Yeah, we had a fan. Now she's our our kobold.
Yes.
Yes.
So I dismount the dragonborn, and I would like to take 2 shots at the weird thing now that I can do that.
Okay, well, dismounting does use half your movement. So your movement is now 15.
Okay. I don't need to move.
hold on. Because you used your action this turn to wake up.
Oh, goddamn it. Okay.
Yeah, so you might get your shot. Because Ari might not survive when this thing lunges at him at this point. It is Fenix's turn. Fenix, you are no longer
holding
the...
Can I use the rest of my movement to back up the 15 feet then away from the thing?
You can stumble backwards, sure.
Okay.
You are now ankle deep in loose rock and salt.
Not the worst thing Vex has been in.
I'm gonna lunge for the thing.
Okay. I will need a d20 roll.
21. No, yet. No, that's definitely not a 21. That's a 28.
A so 28. Much better. Yeah, his longsword is +2, and he's proficient in it. And he's a paladin that's specialized in dueling, which means he gets a bonus towards one-handed strikes. So 28 works. Give me 1d8 +8 damage.
I'm in love with the Dragonborn.
Holy crap. 14 damage?
14 damage. You slice the thing's head off.
Wow. Take that, Ed.
Its turn was next. It didn't get to do anything. It was like, rah, you landed on me. I'm mad. I'm dead.
This is what happens when anything comes big and hurts them.
And its body just starts sizzling because it's still covered in Melf's acid arrow.
Yeah.
Right, so the thing is dead.
The thing is dead.
Can I cast Speak with Animals on myself and just start shouting Shepherd, obviously, and Wolf so he can hear me?
You and understand do so. Me?
Careful, Bex. I'm not sure this is entirely stable here. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not.
Watch this.
Your sentence is punctuated by additional rumbles.
These humans do not know how to make good tunnels.
For the record, this tunnel does not appear to be carved out. It appears to have been eroded out.
Yes, but we fell in. Should not have happened. This would not happen if this was a cult plan. Nope.
Can I do some kind of check to see if I can see him while shouting for him?
Sure. Give me a perception check.
Okay.
You do not have advantage because Shepherd is not humanoid.
But he's my puppy.
He will always be your fur baby, but he is not a humanoid.
Doesn't matter.
Probably gonna
that's
be a
natural
20. You see no 25 sign perception. Of Shepherd.
Just his head hanging off.
No, that would be a sign of Shepherd. He sees nothing that says Shepherd is in the area. He sees nothing that says Shepherd is in any danger.
That's useful. We need to get out of here. Before more of this either piles on our heads or collapses further.
How? He's not here. I don't know where he is. He's not here.
Maybe he did not fall in.
Possibly. Can I pull out of my bag of tricks?
You most certainly can.
It's DA and it's the rusted one. I pull out a 4. I pull out a goat.
I was really hoping you'd get the least helpful animal, just for the sake of the RP.
A hacked rat.
I'm just getting the stats for a goat, so that it's at least somewhat helpful.
It has -5 health.
Oh, you are not helpful, Mr. Goat, at all. Okay, you know what?
Just remember, previously on Circulus, you did have a goat do a takedown attack on a chain devil.
No, and I had a giant goat do a takedown attack devil. This is a normal goat.
Okay. Okay, so you summon a normal goat, and it stands at the ready and starts chewing on the hem of Meepo's shirt.
And I can throw the goat like a cannon.
I just say to the goat, Barnabas, you're here until Shepherd's back. Okay. I've made Barnabas.
I want to ride the goat. I am too small for this place and there's too much water and I don't like it. I want to ride the goat to be taller.
Well, I do still have Speak with Animals on, so Barnabas, allow me to ride on you.
Okay.
Yay! And I climb up and have a new mount.
Give me an animal handling check.
Me or her?
You're not the one riding the goat.
What do I roll? 20 again?
Yeah, anytime you're doing a check, it's going to be a d20.
It's 20, okay.
And it's your wisdom, unless you have
an... Okay, I have an 11, and wisdom is +1. So 12?
Okay, that is sufficient. You're not doing... your animal handling is also one, so that's great. You're not doing anything that really intense. You're not trying to, like, jump over barriers at a show while wearing a silly little hat. So you're able to stay on top of this goat pretty well.
Cool.
Also, please bear in mind, it has 4 hit points, so, yeah.
Also, be careful. In mind, Meepo's a kobold.
Yeah.
If she was a standard kobold, it's possible the goat would be her tank. Okay.
This goat's going to be cannon fire. Discuss my wagon.
In the gloom, you can kind of make out, if you look at the image that I shared in Discord many images ago, because people are posting pictures of goats now.
Goats rock.
Yeah, there are 2 openings towards the bottom of the... You're at the top of the image. Towards the bottom, there are 2 different openings that go off into the gloom.
Definitely make our way towards those openings.
Okay.
You may have to see if Fenix or Vex, see if either of you can hear anything coming from either of those openings.
Sure, I will listen.
Okay. Give me a perception check.
8 plus 5 is 13.
You definitely hear the sound of moving water. It's not moving very fast.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely some moving. And you can kind of hear it through both openings.
Okay.
But you don't know if it's louder in one or the other because they're too close together.
Okay. Yeah,
there's not much gap between those 2 openings.
So we're wading through water then, I'm guessing, yes? Or
yeah, it's about half a foot deep.
Okay.
Air left?
Is there anything on the walls to kind of indicate people going down these ways, anything like that?
I don't think anybody's been down here for ages.
As you're looking around, you do notice that there's some flotsam floating in the water. It appears to be tattered clothing. You don't know if it what quality clothing it is. It's kind of torn up. There are some bones in here. You're guessing... these are remnants of the carrion crawler's meal. Meals, plural.
Well, that thing won't be bothering anybody anymore.
Yes. Now, you do know that carrion crawlers prefer corpses.
Yeah.
So these things are probably already dead.
Yeah.
Yes.
We fell out of a cemetery of sorts.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, we were watching somebody get buried, and we fell once while the burial was ongoing, and the floor fell out from underneath.
I missed that part, sorry.
Yeah. So it is even possible that what you're looking at are basically the carrion crawler was raiding the cemetery.
Yeah.
For easy meals. It might be the reason there was a cave-in in the first place.
Yeah. More than likely, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Okay. And
I blame it.
Actually, everyone give me a perception check that hasn't already rolled one. So, Vex, you already did yours.
Yes.
So everyone else give me one, too.
Do we roll it a second time, or? I don't remember what mine was.
Just roll a d20 and add your perception.
Okay.
17. Okay. All right, 17.
16 plus... Shit. Plus 1. 17.
Okay.
Ari got a 21.
Okay, so, Ari, you find... a partially crushed skull. It's missing the bottom half of the jaw. But the top teeth are mostly intact. There's a big hole in the side of the head. But this skull has very pointed canines.
Huh. Well, that's not a dwarf or an elf.
It's humanoid in nature. You can't tell one humanoid skull from another very much. That's not really where your training lies.
No.
But those teeth are... You know that orcs have very large tusks, but that's in the bottom jaw.
Right.
You haven't spent a lot of time looking at the top half of their mouth.
Yeah.
But you haven't seen teeth this pointed. Meepo, you find a shiny.
A shiny!
Yes.
Yay!
You find a tie tack that is a diamond in a gold inlay.
Oh, yes. Fancy. Fancy shiny.
Yes, you also find the tie that it's attached to. And as you go to pick it up, half of a corpse comes up with it.
Ew.
And then the tie breaks because it's been sitting in salt water for you who knows how long. And the body goes back down with a splash. And you're,
okay,
holding, half,
that's better.
You're holding half a tie.
Yeah, is the shiny in the tie?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Is the shiny still in the tie I'm holding?
Yes.
Yay, I found the shiny.
Okay.
I found a rock. I mean, a skull.
A skull.
And Fenix, you find
a wagon.
You find a locket. It's one of those. Yeah, it's one of those things where, if you press a little switch, it opens up and there's pictures on the inside on either half. But the locket has a design on the front of it of a wagon.
Yes.
Can I have a look at that skull that he found?
Sure.
See if I can determine what race it is.
I'll pass it along. This isn't my area, but I know you know more about humanoids.
Exactly.
Well, if you're going to examine the skull, I'm going to need it. I'm going to say for this, it would be a nature check. There could be other checks, but I'm going to say it's nature.
Humanoid?
I am trained in nature. Could I assist him in this check?
I already have a magic as humanoid.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
That's a 17. Because it's a 0. It says plus 0 in nature.
You're not entirely sure what this is. It doesn't correspond with the humanoids that you're familiar with.
Hmm. Well, it's not from Farron, that's for sure.
I can't identify it from anything from Circulus, although it is missing its mandible.
I just put the wagon picture next to him like, this worked.
Possibly from another realm? Well, we know that there's something pulling things here, so...
Yeah.
Fenix, just so you know, you haven't opened the locket yet. The wagon design is a relief sculpture on the outside of it.
Is there like a key or something like that?
No, it's got a little button on the top that you're supposed to press, and then it pops open. It's got a latch that you press to open it up.
Can I push it?
You go to push it, but it is so encrusted with salt that nothing happens. It would probably have to be cleaned somehow.
I mean, dragon breath can clean a lot of things.
No!
No! No. Very, very bad. Bad Fenix, no biscuit.
Salt doesn't burn very well. And you'd probably incinerate the locket would probably melt. It is made of gold, and gold is a very low temperature melting metal.
And the cave will explode.
Well, there's that too.
But hey, we can find out. We can just test.
No.
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 Bad Dragonborn.
No biscuit.
Can Mr. I just take Fenix. A... Mr.
Well,
Fenix.
Well, where's your dollars?
Mr. Fenix, can I see the shiny?
Okay, here you go.
And I want to use prestidigitation to clean it.
Oh, you are wonderful.
Okay, so you cast prestidigitation, and a significant amount of moisture and salt just flies out of it and goes off into the air and then rains down like snow.
Ooh, prettier now. Here you go.
Thank you.
That was excellent work, Meepo. Meepo.
Meepo, have I ever told you you're wonderful?
Not till today.
You're wonderful, honey.
Thank you.
Okay. So, the locket is cleaned.
Now I'll push the button.
Okay, you push the button, the world explodes. No, it doesn't. It
and
doesn't.
Then wagons fall out of the world.
Yes. Oh, wait, that already happened.
So the locket opens, and the inside has been damaged through exposure to the salt water over an extreme amount of time. You don't know how long, but it's not a recent addition. It's been here for a while, you guess. But you can make out what you think is a man and a woman on opposite sides of the locket. They have rather serious expressions on their faces. Think, like, any time you see photographs of people from the Old West where they're posing in front of the camera. It's an image sort of like that. Their faces look very pale, and they appear to be both wearing rather somber colors, like dark earth tones and blacks. You still don't pretty. Recognize either of them. But the locket's nice.
Might fetch some coin.
Are we going through this tunnel then?
Well, there's two. Whether we head straight south or southwest, we can't really make any determination. There's no track to follow.
Pull it up.
Either way, might
that's horribly bad.
Might I suggest that we do this stealthily, as best we can, at least.
Considering I'm almost 7 feet tall.
Well, considering that you're ankle deep in water.
Yeah.
Every step you're going to make.
Well, I'm all for proceeding slowly.
But here's the thing. I do have Pass Without a Trace.
That will keep you from being tracked.
Right.
So no one will know that you passed
through. Avail
of Shadow
and Silence radiates from you. So as long as people are within 30 feet of me, they create no sound as long as they do good rolls.
Ari. Well, Ari's... I'm not trained in stealth.
You get a plus 10 to your dexterity stealth check.
Oh, well then, never mind.
Plus
I'm trained
your
in stealth. I'm suddenly trained in stealth.
As long as you don't pull out a set of bagpipes, the kind that spit fire out of them when you're playing them, you'll probably be okay.
I cast Pass Without a Trace on us.
How long does that last?
An hour.
An hour? Oh,
it's an hour, and it's concentration, so I can't do Hunter's Mark or anything like that.
Okay.
Does mean that I lose my speak with animals, but that's fine.
That's okay. I don't think Shepard's down here. I didn't...
No, I don't think he is either.
Yeah.
So, stealth checks? Bonuses, plus 10.
Which direction? South or southwest? I don't think it seems to make any difference based on what you could hear.
I would say south. I just have a feeling.
All right, so we're bearing left.
He thinks tonight's going to be a good night.
Yeah, I have a feeling. And stuff.
11.
Was that with 10? He
plus
probably 10. Did. He probably did.
Was that a 1 plus 10 that you rolled?
Yes.
See?
Big clumsy dragonborn.
Right, well, mine was a 29.
Okay, I've got 16 plus stealth is 117.
Plus 10.
You should probably
plus
roll
10?
For the goat.
For, Pass Without a Trace.
Yeah, Vex cast a spell and gives you plus 10.
Okay, so...
So you got a 27, love.
Okay, thanks.
Goat got a...
Ari has a 23.
Not terrible. 14 for the goat with zero dex modifier.
Ari got a 23.
Okay.
And Vex got a 29.
Okay, so the ranger and the wizard pass without a trace, basically acting like a character from a Metal Gear game.
And miss proxy battles.
The goat and the kobold additionally ride or are ridden, as the case may be, silently through the water. Fenix also acts like a character out of a Metal Gear game, but he acts like a character that's currently wearing a cardboard box so he can't see where he's going. trips over something in the water and does a belly flop.
Oh.
Then quickly stands up, looks around, and says, it was Meepo.
Just stay within 30 feet, guys. Just stay within 30 feet.
I just whispered to Meepo, you go to earn my second favorite again.
But as Eclipsed, super OP Rangers.
Thank you, Eclipse. Eclipse posted this. That is... Thank you.
That fills me with great joy.
I think that's... I'm afraid to click on that because I'm afraid it'll play a movie. And I'll
it's not. It's just a meme. It's just a picture.
Just a picture. Okay. That makes me happy because now I don't have the temptation to click on it to play it anyway. All right. So you go south. And I know what room that takes you to, so I need to show you the picture of it.
I've been waiting to get level 5 so I could pass without a trace. I've been waiting for this.
Okay, so this room... this irregular passage opens into a wider cavern after a small choke point. One side, you see a smallish opening in the wall, which your best guess, based on its placement, would lead to the other route that you could have taken. But to the south more is where you hear the source of water coming from. There is a rather slow but noticeable current.
Which direction is it going?
You're on the edge of it. Further south, you think it's going from, and I'm using the top of the map as arbitrary north. You're not entirely sure that's north.
Okay.
But further to the south, you think it would be going east to west.
Okay. Shall we keep moving?
Yeah, we need to find an exit or somewhere to go up.
Okay, and Vex, I got everyone else's passive perception, but what's yours?
My passive perception is 15.
Okay. As you're going through this opening, you see a small bundle sort of staked to the wall with like nails or pitons or something like that.
Okay. I tell the group to hold up, and can I look at it? Sure. A bit more investigation to it?
It looks like a small rucksack or something.
Okay. Any strange odors coming from it, just in case it's possibly trapped? Can I check?
Okay. You can check. You see... Well, give me a... I would say an investigation roll.
Natural one.
You see a small rucksack.
Screw it.
It appears to not have a timer appearing above it. You don't hear a ticking noise. There's no noticeable wire going off into the distance someone can pull.
I would like to look inside the rucksack.
You find a bomb.
Oh. Oh, no.
There is this, a length of fuse. It looks like an explosive that would be used for a mining operation. There is a significant length of fuse that it's coiled up like this was ready to be set off, but the person who set it up wasn't ready to set it off when they put it there.
Okay, I gently put it back and slowly back away. Let's not touch any more of those things.
Was the fuse lit?
No, it was not lit.
Okay.
They put it there to prepare it, and now that it's there, they didn't do anything with it.
So, okay. Just a heads up, people. If you see any more bags like that stapled to the wall, there are bombs in them. Let's avoid them.
Throw Gear Grinder Special off the bomb.
You have no Gear Grinder Special.
but it'll be awesome.
It would just make the bomb wet.
Yep. Shall we continue?
Explode. I think we should continue.
Because the bottle would cut wire.
As we get closer to the possible, the suspected current change, can I confirm the direction it's going?
Oh, most definitely. And I'm laughing at Eclipse's picture of a cardboard box with "not snake" written on the side of it. Okay, you've gone into room 7.
Woo!
Okay, this fairly large chamber bears noticeable signs of erosion due to the slow but constant flow of water slowly dissolving away the salt deposits. There is a narrow opening to the east that the water is coming from. It appears to be less salty over there. You could almost, like, most of this water is just like a white, hazy sludge, but it's noticeably darker, which means noticeably clearer towards this opening. As it comes from the east, the current is continuing to the south.
Should we follow the current, or should we check down the passageways?
I'm not sure.
Now, to the east, the only person with you that you think might be able to go through that would be Meepo, and she'd have to go underwater to do it.
Okay. The fresh water seems to be coming from that way, which to me would indicate that might be a way out, but we'd have to fight the current, and Meepo's the only one who's going to fit. And since she doesn't breathe water,
I think we're probably better.
I think we're better suited finding another exit.
Yeah, because I don't think punching our way out of this is going to be a good idea, considering how unstable this cavern is as it is.
Yeah. Yep.
You see how unstable those wagons are? But they fit.
Mm. No,
punching things is not always the solution.
The current isn't so fast, we can't cross it, is it?
No, and it's still only about 6 inches deep. It's okay, a very slow current. You can see the water moving because there's enough debris that's sort of floating in it, but there's no struggle here.
Okay. Nope, let's just cross it and keep going south.
Okay. We'll do that. Can I have my bow out with an arrow notch ready to go just in case, because I have a bad feeling.
we already found some nasties. In fact, I think what I will do is I will cast mage armor on myself in case we find more crispy critters.
Okay.
Otherwise, I think we're safely going to head south.
Okay, so you are now in room 8. This salt slurry is noticeably stronger. The current is noticeably stronger in this room. Continuing downstream, you're not entirely sure you'd be able to keep your footing. There is a large opening to the west where the current seems almost non-existent, but you can't see where that leads.
I think at this point now we probably follow the current. Hopefully it leads out.
Yeah, that sounds like a solid plan.
Okay. So you continue south, and as you do so, everyone give me a dexterity save.
Oh, okay.
I'm
gonna need one for the goat, too.
Oh, God.
We got the goat.
No. 10 for the goat.
Somehow I think we're going to have an ex-goat.
Did anyone get less than 10?
No, me.
What'd you get?
Oh, no.
Was it a natural one, Logan?
Yes.
Okay, Logan, the ground here, as the current gets stronger, the erosion also gets stronger. So therefore, it has sort of smoothed out the surface underneath the water. So you slip. Do a sort of half spin on the way down, land face first in a second belly flop of the evening, and quickly start sliding away from the party.
Uh-oh.
Can I try and grab him?
Give me a, Well, if you want to try to grab him, you can give me a dexterity check.
Just a check?
A dexterity save.
Okay. 16.
You manage to grab Fenix, by the arm. Give me a second dexterity check to see if you keep your footing. Because now you have a Dragonborn's weight pulling on you in addition to the...
That's a check, not a save.
That'll be a check.
6.
We now have a Dragonborn and a half-elf sliding down the tunnel away from the party. Fenix, give me a strength check.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't creepy.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
No. Just kidding, all naked.
Oh,
okay, you manage to grab onto an outcropping of rock to keep you from going further into the tunnel, which is probably good because you're fairly certain you hear a waterfall. You don't know how far away it is because you don't have dark vision.
And you are far
enough away from Ari that you can't benefit from his light cantrip. Vex, you asked if you could see it?
Yep.
Okay, so the table is turned. You were trying to hold Fenix to keep him from sliding. Now he's holding you by the same arm. And as you look down current, you see the water, and then you don't see water.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
How far away?
Maybe about 10, 20 feet.
So maybe following the current was not a good idea.
Maybe following the current was a bad idea.
All right. Ari has some rope. He's not the strongest man in the party. So
you also have a goat and a kobold to help you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Can I just shout, tie it to a... Was it stalactite?
Tie it to one of those small bags.
Is it stalactite or stalagmite?
Throw meatball over here.
Tight hold on top. Mites might reach the ceiling, so we want a stalagmite, hopefully.
Tie it to a stalagmite.
Stalactites hold tight to the ceiling.
Yep.
I can throw Vex.
Don't throw Vex.
Never toss a half
elf. Don't throw the half elf.
Never half elves.
We're too big.
They're too fragile.
Yeah, our delicate little elven bodies.
All right, Ari will try to tie it off to a stalagmite and hopefully then toss the rope to his friends.
He goes in one and the rope just falls in the water.
And I will let you roll either an athletics or acrobatics check to see if you manage to use this rope to pull yourself to safety.
Okay.
I am horrible at athletics, so we will take acrobatics.
Well, you're fine. This is...
Oh, them.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You sent the rope down, and it's already tied to something, so they can pull themselves up.
Okay.
Surprisingly, athletics is my best out of the two, which is strength.
Because you're trained in it, right?
Yep, because I'm proficient. That's a 15 for athletics.
That is sufficient.
Okay.
How about you, Fenix?
Athletics?
Or acrobatics, if you want to live on the wild side. Actually, the way you're climbing up this rope, it's reminiscent of the old Batman live action.
I've just got an image of a half-elf and a dragonborn pulling themselves up. It's brilliant.
12.
You slip and slide a bit.
Oh, God.
And you take 3d8 points of damage to your dignity, but you do manage to pull yourself to safety.
So that wasn't the brightest idea we've had.
No.
I keep saying this, we're not good at this adventuring thing.
No, but we try hard.
We try very hard.
You are a bunch of tryhards, yes. Okay, so Unless you decide to take the waterfall challenge, you have two options. You can go back to the north or head to the west.
We came from that way. Why don't we go west?
West sounds like a better idea.
Okay, that will take you to room 10. The ground under the liquid you've been sloshing through drops off steeply to a depth of about 2 feet. Meepo, you are quite happy to be riding a goat. The goat is a little less happy about the situation.
How tall is the goat?
It is able to lift its head up a bit.
It's a medium-sized creature, so...
Yes.
Okay.
It's not one of those...
It's not like you're riding Trinket or anything like that.
It's not a baby goat.
Not a pygmy goat.
Okay, yes, good.
It's a full-grown goat, the kind that attacked me at a petting zoo once when I was a child and my parents filmed it.
On
8mm. Yeah. I have no memory of this. I apparently blocked it out, but they make a point to remind me every now and then. Keeps me in my place. it's a true story. But in any case... The goat is able to have its head above water. It's still not happy about being submerged in brine. You have a feeling that if the goat didn't disappear upon death, this marination might actually make the meat taste better.
Tis a shame.
Yes. And if as you look above, you do see there are spider webs on the ceiling above you.
Has the smell of alcohol gone away now?
Oh, that was gone...
When we left the front room.
Yeah, when you hit room 7, it was gone.
All right. I miss, like, those webs up there.
And from the looks of this, you could go west or south. There is not really any current in here.
Keep going west.
Well, I picked the waterfall, so maybe you should pick.
Yeah, your turn.
Let's go west. The water's flowing that way, so... Or was.
Okay, the young man decides to go west. I'm a bad person.
We know.
Uh-oh.
Oh, did you hear the sheriff's name?
No.
His last name is Dente.
You already know, don't you?
Oh, crashed. You're not going to have a long talk.
I didn't name the sheriff or the town.
I don't believe you.
But he did name the deputy.
No. The sheriff used to be the deputy. I named the sheriff who was dead. And his name is Craig Bronzehammer.
You should name the new sheriff Rack.
Okay. This irregularly shaped passage has the now standard 2 feet of salty sludge. What makes it worse is that the ceiling is much lower here. It's only about 1 or 2 feet above the waterline.
Oh, great.
Remind me why I left my college.
So the taller members of the party are having to crouch down. Meepo, you don't really see much of a problem.
Nope. All good.
Now, Vex, as you crouch down, you come face-to-face with another small bundle.
Is it the same thing I saw?
It's the same manufacturer. You haven't looked inside of it.
I just say to the group, don't touch the thing.
Another haversack, as it were.
Well, if it looks the same as the last one, so I'm going to assume there's explosives in it.
A safe assumption.
Wash should be like a pot of gold in there, and he's like, God dang it.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of regretting just walking past it. Can I look in it very quickly?
Sure.
Oh, no.
In this damp, I don't know that it would be able to light the fuse on it, so...
They do make fuses that can burn even underwater.
Yeah, but do they have those here?
You don't know.
Yeah, I'm not willing to try and find out.
There is a way to find out.
No, I have a firebolt cantrip that would find out very fast.
Oh, prestidigitation can light a small candle, so it could easily work on this.
Yeah.
Just say the word and Meepo can hook you up.
Is it the same thing as before?
It's a mimic. It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
I would like to think Meepo's sense of self-preservation was stronger than that.
She hasn't encountered explosives before.
Her whole logic for being with us was self-preservation, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much, yeah.
If you light that on fire, it will explode. What does explode?
My guess is, if Meepo doesn't see you running, she's going to assume it's safe. But that's my guess.
I will clearly and very loudly to the group again say, don't touch the bag. It's dangerous.
Which bag? This bag? This bag here? I don't know which character would be doing this, but this is poking the bag. Like, this bag? This is the bag I shouldn't be poking? This one?
Let's be quite honest.
I'm poking it. I'm just going to touch the bag slowly.
Yeah. Punk would be touching the bag.
That would be Punk.
You might be right about that.
What now?
As this passage continues out, you can either go and continue straight, but there's a wider opening to the south.
Well, we know the south probably heads back to that waterfall, so I say we keep going west.
You've gone far enough west that... like when you went south before and it was heading to the waterfall, that passage was curving to the east.
How's the current?
There is no current.
There's no current here. It's just deeper. It's stagnant.
Stagnant, that's the word. Thank you.
The only sign of a current is from you walking through it.
Right. Us disturbing the water. Do we want to head west or south? Do we want to take a listen? See if we hear anything different over here?
Sure. I'll take a listen. That's a 24 for perception.
I gotta check my notes. The plip-plop of water dripping. You also hear something like there's something in the water bumping into something else in the water, but it might be because of the current that's extending out from your passage through. You have created ripples. These sounds are not very loud sounds. You're only hearing them because of your very high perception check.
Meepo just slaps him in the water.
I think it's been established that you're the one doing that, actually.
There's not any sounds coming from either passage other than sounds we're making and possible water dripping from stalactites.
As you say this, a drop of water lands on your nose.
Like that.
Let's keep going west.
Okay.
All right. This rather large room does not appear to be too aesthetically different from every other room you've been in. Except for the increased sense of foreboding that you're feeling. It's almost like there's some alien presence just beyond the boundaries of your mind trying to find a way in. That, or you shouldn't have had chili as the lunch menu for today.
Burp.
The funny thing is I did actually have chili for lunch.
The DM knows all.
You are really creepy sometimes.
This is not a good cake.
Bad time to mention we had hot dogs and chili cheese dogs for dinner.
Yum. But no, I do agree this place isn't... No, this isn't right. Can I do a general perception check just to see if there's anything that's... Because we've been around this place... We've been around the place and seen other areas. Anything that seems out of the ordinary for this area specifically.
I think Arya is going to take a moment and also do his free detect magic while we're in here. See if there's anything magical, because the aura seems a little funny to him.
Okay. You're going to find something, but what you find depends on... Give me the description of Detect Magic again.
Give me a sec here.
See if I can get to it before you do.
I think it just tells you the school, doesn't it?
It's not just telling you the school. There's other details.
Yeah,
for the duration, you sense the presence of magic within 30 feet of you. I needed the distance. If you sense magic this way, you can use your action to... So you have to use your action to see the aura of any visible creature or object in the area that bears magic, and you learn the school of magic, if any. The spell can penetrate most barriers, but it is blocked by 1 foot of stone, 1 inch of common metal, a thin sheet of lead, or 3 feet of wood or dirt. This is why I was asking.
Okay.
Okay. So, based on where you are, yes, you are certain there is magic nearby.
Then I will take an action to attempt to see the aura and learn its school of magic.
And now I've got to look up schools of magic.
Do what I do. Just go necromancy. Like, everything in my Teldora campaign is necromancy.
You detect Hogwarts.
Which house, though?
Slytherin.
Oh, the best one.
Head for the hills.
Why am I not shocked?
Because you've known me for, what, 6 years?
Something like that. Thing is, this is something where it doesn't say it on the thing that you're detecting magic on. Which bothers me. Conjuration.
So something's been summoned, or something summons, or has been summoned.
And because you used your action, you can see the aura. You of course, see the various auras of the magical items that party members have on them.
Right.
Fenix's sword, in particular, has a very bright glow. You wouldn't need your light cantrip in here. But the water itself is glowing.
Oh. In here?
Yes.
Okay.
So, specifically, a point in the middle of this cavern, rather close to where you're standing. And the magical aura of it is condensing. It was a larger area when you first used your action, and now it's narrowing into a smaller point and rising up from the surface.
Okay. Something's coming.
The something is here. Roll initiative.
Okay. Oh, wow. Natural 20 on my initiative. Damn.
Advantage is nice.
Yeah, I do love having advantage on my initiative.
So what's the total number?
23.
Okay, and Fenix? Oh, you got 19?
Yeah, I got 17.
Okay, Meepa got 17.
Get back.
Oh, wait. Plus one. Just saw that.
That's a good thing. And that made me check the initiative modifier for this thing and made me realize I needed to change where I placed it in the order.
Ari got a 10.
You didn't get a rock.
Nope.
Now everything's in order. Okay, so Vex, you're up first, and there is... you've been to beaches before. You've seen waves before. It looks like a wave in the middle of this room, and it's facing the party. And moving towards you.
Can I do a check, see if I know what this is?
Sure.
Nature?
Go ahead.
I agree.
Bex doesn't know what this is, because that's a natural one.
You know it's water.
Yep,
you're fairly sure it's water. Also, you're fairly sure it shouldn't be able to do that, but this water is rather viscous with all the salt in it.
Yep. Okay, so I'm pretty confident we're not going to need Pass Without a Trace. Can I Hunter's Mark it?
Sure.
Okay. I'll take two shots on it.
Sure.
Because I'm going before it, I get advantage. So that is a plus 8 to hit. So that's a 20 to hit.
A 20 will hit.
And that is 13 points of piercing damage.
Okay.
Second shot. Twenty-six to hit.
That's a hit.
8 + 4 = 12 + 3, 15 points of piercing damage. And then just for fun, we'll send the goat in.
Wait.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, okay. Can it buck Meepo off? I think it'll hurt.
That would be its action.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind then. Can it hold its action and ready up a charge?
It can hold its action. You can have it go in anywhere you want in the initiative order. But okay. I'm going to put its name in the initiative at that point, so that'll be the turn it always goes in, assuming it survives.
That's fine. So can I hold its action? Can I hold its turn until...
I assume that's what we were agreeing on, yes.
End of Meeple's turn, yes.
Okay. So your arrows went boop, boop, and went through this thing.
Didn't do anything at all.
Well, it's made of water, so it did make holes, but the holes filled in again. You honestly don't know if you did damage to it or not. You disrupted it for a little while.
Okay.
But your one tells you don't know.
Yeah, X knows nothing.
You're attacking the darkness for all you know at this point.
It's a gazebo.
You're fairly certain that it's not as powerful as a gazebo. Those things are murder. But it's Fenix's turn. Fenix, what would you like to do?
Make obsidian. Oh, wait, this is...
You have no lava.
Of course I do.
At this point, you have two different attacks you could do. You could attack with your sword, or you could use your breath weapon on it.
Wait, is there anyone in front of me?
The way the party is spread out, even if there was someone in front of you, you could easily use your movement so they wouldn't be.
Alright, I'm just going to move up and do your dragon breath.
Okay, you do your dragon breath.
That's 11 damage.
I got to make a save.
Yeah, it makes a save. Dex save.
And that's a 19, so whatever your number is, it made the save. So...
half.
And that would be...
5.5.
I can't hear what you said. It sounded like you said
he's
five
saying
and a half.
Five and a half.
So okay, rounded. So it'd be five because it's rounded down. Okay. Next up is Meepo's turn.
Okay. I'm trying to understand what just happened. Did Fenix's attack do anything?
There was a sizzle.
A sizzle. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm watching this go on. The arrows do nothing. Whatever Fenix did nothing. So I'm going to try to cast sleep on it so it will go to sleep and can go away.
Okay.
Oh. I have no idea how to do that.
Sleep's a tricky one.
You don't need to roll anything. Sleep spell is a saving throw by the creature in question. Usually is a wisdom save based on...
That's different. That's completely different.
Changed. Yeah. Now you can roll to see how many hit points worth of sleep you can throw at something.
I'm getting it up.
So it can actually affect multiple creatures if you roll high enough, and there's enough creatures that have very low hit points.
So you roll 5d8. The total is how many hit points of the creature the spell can affect. If the creature has more hit points, more current hit points than what you roll, the spell does not work.
Okay.
But I'm also going to tell you right now the spell's not going to work.
Okay, well, she wouldn't know that, though.
No, she wouldn't know that.
I don't have the right dice to roll this one.
It's okay, because probably doesn't your spell matter. Wouldn't work anyway.
Yeah, okay, well, she figured maybe it would work. You don't know.
Yep. And more power to her. You have learned something this day.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Water sleep does not work on water. Right.
Speaking of water elementals, it is going to attack. It rushes forward and appendages come out of either side of this wave and swing. One arm will go towards Vex, one will go towards Fenix.
Okay.
And...
My browser just crashed.
Well, in the meantime, it rolled a 14 for Vex.
That is just barely a hit.
Okay. And a... 19 for Fenix.
Just barely a hit.
You're hitting our ACs.
Okay. You both take 13 points of damage.
Son of a... Oh.
Come on, you don't want two beeps in this.
This is not a carrion crawler with a challenge rating of 2. This is a water elemental with a challenge rating appropriate for your level.
Yes, and we don't have a healer. We're going to die.
You have a healer. You have 2 characters that are capable of casting healing spells.
Accurate.
Okay.
A paladin and a ranger.
On that note, Ari, you're up.
All right. Alright, so, water elemental, or something there akin. So, let's see what happens if we try to freeze the water elemental. That might hurt.
It may very well.
So, we are going to try a cantrip just to see how bad the water gets hurt by that. And that is a roll of 17, plus 7 is 24 AC.
You almost hit it twice.
Okay. And... Ooh, ghetto crit! 16 points of damage of cold.
16 points?
16 points. Now, it will also slow its speed by 10 feet with the Ray of Frost.
Oh, it does more than that.
Okay.
Oh, can the goat go?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You forgot your goat.
I forgot about the goat.
Yeah, you did forget about your goat. You were busy getting smacked upside the head with a big wave of water.
Well, in fairness, the thing hurt.
Did we establish if Meepo got off the goat or is still on the goat?
You never said you got off the goat. You were just passing sleep.
Well, how would she know that it was going to run in, though?
She wouldn't, because Vex didn't tell Meepo, get off the goat, I'm going to have it charge.
I did forget to scream, get off the goat.
Yes, you did.
Okay.
And oddly enough, Meepo has many talents, but psychic abilities are not amongst them. Now, by the way, this water elemental, as it takes this cold damage, parts of it actually become ice.
Okay.
Mostly around the base. The ice is cracking as it tries to move while frozen. It can move somewhat, but you have really slowed it down.
Her.
It is not bloodied, however. Okay, we are back up to the top of the initiative. Vex, it is your turn.
Okay, I scream, Meeple, get off the goat.
Okay, I jump off the goat and splash into the water.
You'll be able to get off the goat at your turn.
Oh, yeah. Okay, then I don't do that yet.
Yeah, you can actually, talking is a free action, you can do that at any point, whether or not it's your turn, but anytime you're going to do any type of movement, unless it's listed as a reaction, you have to do that on your turn.
This is the first battle she's been in since I took over the character.
This is going to be really risky because I lose this, but I need to. And realizing that the arrows didn't seem to do anything, I'm going to drop my bow and pull out the plus one scimitar and my dagger and go for two attacks with the scimitar and then an offhand strike.
Okay.
Okay. Scimitar first. So that's a 15?
A 15 just barely hits.
Just barely hits. Okay. So I'm on a d6. So that is 4. So it's 8 points of, I think it's slashing damage with the scimitar? Yes.
Should be.
8 points of slashing damage for the first strike. Second with a scimitar is, that's 18 to hit.
18 to hit.
And that's 6 plus 4, 10 points of slashing damage with a scimitar. And
okay.
And I'm going with the offhand strike with the non-magic dagger. It's a 17 plus 6, so 23 to hit.
23 is a hit.
And that's D4.
Every time you give me a number that's higher than the previous number, I'm still going to say it's a hit.
I know, it's a habit, and that's a max damage on that dagger. That's a 4 damage.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't you have Hunter's Mark on it?
Oh, Hunter's Mark, yes! Plus an R6.
6 from what?
Hunter's Mark.
From which attack, though? The Hunter's Mark itself doesn't do damage.
Hunter's Mark does do damage. When I attack, I add a D6 to all of my attacks with Hunter's Mark.
Okay.
So it was, I mean, don't get me wrong, because it's a dagger, it'll be half because non-magic weapon, but it's 10 reduced to 5. But for the other ones, that was a magical weapon.
Yes. Okay, so your scimitar does a fantastic job. And yes, in this podcast, we're saying both pronunciations for scimitar because why not? We can. As you slice, it goes through this thing like water.
How apropos.
Yes. But as it goes through the water elemental, you're also knocking out huge chunks that were frozen from Ari's attack. So its mass is significantly reduced. Matter of fact...
Good.
Tag team.
Woo!
You could even say that it's bloodied, if it had blood. Which it does not. But let's pretend. Fenix, you're up.
Does it still have, like, ice chunks in it?
Oh, yeah. Significantly less, but there's still parts of it that are frozen. As it's tried to move, the ice has broken in places and sort of flowed into the main body, so it's spread out. But it's not just a salt slurry anymore.
Is there a way to, like, slam something?
You could attempt it, but you've seen this thing have arrows pass right through it.
No, I can't grab it by the ice.
There's nothing to grab.
Well, there's ice, but the way this thing moves, I'm not even going to make you roll. You're fairly certain that anything you grab onto would be risking it just moving over you and trying to drown you.
All right, I'll just attack with my sword.
Okay, give me an attack roll.
Wow, it was 11 plus 9, 20.
All right, awesome. So that would be 1d8 plus 8 damage.
That's 17 damage?
It can't be 17.
Oh, no. Wrong dice. Thirteen.
Could be worse. You could have been rolling your attack rolls with a d12.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen. Okay, so your sword goes through it in epic fashion. Its mass diminishes as you do this, which is kind of weird because you didn't knock out huge chunks of ice or water. It just sort of like sank down as you hit it, like you were chopping away its essence as opposed to its material. But it is now Meepo's turn.
Okay, Meepo's going to get off the goat because Mr. Vex told her to.
Splash, you're over your waist deep in water.
I wonder if Meepo can swim. All right. Is my turn over, or do I do
no? That used up half of your movement, so okay. You could still move somewhere away from the goat if you wished to, and you still have an action, which could either be your movement again, or it could be an attack.
Okay. Can I use prestidigitation again to do something?
You could, but prestidigitation is, it's a minor spell, it's a cantrip, so it doesn't even use a spell slot. You've used it for pranks and stuff, and to clean things, but you don't think it would do anything to a creature of this size and power.
Well, what she's thinking is, that you can use it to, chill water, like freeze it, and the water's maybe not so smart to know that it's not really being frozen. So maybe it would be upset.
So you're going to try to aggro freeze. The water elemental.
Well, she doesn't know it's going to aggro, but she saw Mr. Ari's freeze spell work, and she thinks maybe this might help.
Okay. Okay, so for that, this is an interesting situation, because prestidigitation is not normally an attack spell, but you're using it as an attack. So I'm going to have this... I'm sorry?
It's like an interesting way to do it.
Yeah. I love this game.
I love it. It's so good.
Yes. And if we were min-maxing here, if we were trying to be the most effective, this would not be the choice to make. But this leads to an interesting narrative. And I like that more.
Good.
Logan's fixation on smashing wagons, or Fenix's fixation, rather, on smashing wagons, doesn't help with min-maxing the game and being the most effective, but I love it as a character trait. So I'm going to have this creature do... I'm going to say that would probably be a constitution save. That would be a 15. The question is, what is the number based on Meepo's stats?
I have no idea.
And I forget how to configure it.
It is 8. It is 8 plus proficiency bonus plus the appropriate statistical modifier. So in her case, as a sorcerer, it would be charisma. So it's her charisma modifier. We're 5th level, so our proficiency bonus is 3. So we're going to start with 8 plus 3 is 11, plus whatever her charisma modifier is.
Is she
she's level 4.
She's level 4.
Yeah, she's 1 level below you. So 8
two.
Plus 2, so it's 10, plus 10 her charisma,
plus.
Which is 13. So
no, that's a plus 1.
Okay. Right. And I rolled a 15 for the water elemental. So you cast prestidigitation, and you see, as this water elemental is moving around, bits of droplets are flying off of it. And as you cast prestidigitation, those droplets turn into snowflakes. It is very pretty. You catch one on your tongue. It's very salty.
And it tastes bad.
It's like trying to catch snowflake on your tongue, but you realize it's acid rain. You're like, oh, ugh, never mind. Mm-hmm. Thank you, industrial era. But there is no other effect from this.
That's worth a try.
It was cool.
At the end, yeah.
It was.
Does that cool. complete my turn?
That does complete your turn.
Okay.
It is now the water elemental's turn. And
the goat.
I'm sorry?
The goat.
Oh. That's right. You wanted the goat to go after Meepo. So I'm going to have the goat going on initiative 17.
Okay. So the goat's going to do a charge.
As I typed the goat into my initiative order, my caps lock was apparently on. So now it's greatest of all time. As opposed to just goat.
So the goat's going to charge into a ram attack. So yeah, see if it hits.
It's attack roll.
15.
15 hits.
So I get a D4 plus another D4 for the charge.
For the record, its AC is 14.
The target takes an extra 1d4 blood. Okay, so, okay. Yeah, so, 6 plus 1, so that's 7 points of bludgeoning damage, and it has to do a DC 10 strength saving throw, or be knocked prone.
It is immune to being knocked
prone. I figured it would be, but I just wanted to check.
And it takes 3 points of damage, because that's half damage rounded down.
Although, technically it's a magic goat. I summoned it.
Not a magical goat.
Magic summons the goat, but the goat itself acts like it's non-magical.
Worth a try.
I appreciate the Rothfuss initiative.
I gotta follow Rothfuss. So that's, you gotta do it.
For those who are not in the know, if you watch the Acquisitions Incorporated live shows that have Patrick Rothfuss playing Viari, he tends to do very creative gameplay in regards Yes?
I was going to say, technically for me, it would be Taliesin, because I watch Critical Role more, and that's what he does.
It works. It works. But in this case, the goat charges, splash, 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 because it's charging through what would technically be difficult terrain. But it gets up some speed, does a flying leap, goes boom, straight through the water elemental, lands on the other side, does a sort of Tokyo Drift-style skid as it comes to a halt on the opposite side of the water elemental from the rest of you. And this huge non-magical wave sort of like flies off in the goat's wake as it lands. And if it was an anime, it'd be really epic. There'd be lots of speed lines with probably a 30-second sequence showing this happening in more than one camera angle. But it still did 3 points of damage, and the water elementals probably didn't even notice the attack.
It did summon.
It did something.
That's it, did do something. Of it.
And now it's the water elemental's turn. And there are two individuals that are right next to it, both of which have caused it considerable harm. So it's going to multi-attack again with its slams. Okay, and that's a plus 7 to hit. So, you know, I'm using a dice app, and I've never seen a jacked die in a dice app before, but that is a jacked die.
What?
This dice app that I'm using does 3D rendering for all the die, and use physics to say where they land.
Yeah,
it's really cool. They made it in Unity. This is a total digression here, but because it's using physics to decide how they land, it landed next to another dice, or die rather, and it was on a corner. So I re-rolled it, and that's for your advantage, because all those numbers that were sticking up were very high. And that right there that I'm looking at is a 2 for Vex. So plus two. 7 would be a 9.
That's a mess.
And for Fenix, that would be a 10 with the modifier in place.
That's a mess.
Okay, so it tries to slam against you again, but unfortunately for it, you are too wily and are able to sidestep its blows. You do get soaked a bit because as it slams down into the brine, water splashes up, and it's like you were in the second seat on one of those log rides at an amusement park, and the person in front of you ducked, and you kind of weren't expecting to get it all in your face, but you got it all in your face. Okay, on that note, it is Ari's turn.
All right. Well, Ray of Frost seems to have done wonders, so we're going to repeat that, hopefully with equal effect, although not likely, given I got those 2 8s. All right. 14 plus 7 is 21. And the cold damage is a total of 8.
Okay, duly noted. This thing is looking less like an imposing water elemental and more like something you'd put in a snow globe, but it's still there.
Damn.
Magical weapon.
Okay. Same as before, because it actually worked. 2 blows with the scimitar, 1 with the offhand. So the first one is a 17 to hit.
Yep.
Yeah, that's 2d6. So 2, 4, 8 points of slashing for the first. Second is a 18 to hit. That's 14 points of slashing.
Okay, with that second strike with your scimitar, the last of the water elemental sort of just sizzles off of your blade and disappears.
Can I very quickly try and find my bow since I just dropped it in the water to pull my weapons out?
Things are much more buoyant in salt water than they are in fresh water. This is very similar to one of those places like the Dead Sea where tourists will go there and just float on the surface. Because it's impossible to sink, so the bow's just sort of floating there.
Okay, I grab the bow.
Okay, the goat floats by you.
He's a good boy.
He tried.
And I'm just going to pick up Meepo and put her back on the goat.
Thank you.
From the goat's perspective, it laid the killing blow.
It is an animal. I mean,
it went through this thing. Clearly that defeated it.
What did I call it, Barnabas?
Yes.
It's a good little Barnabas.
Now, you don't know what time of day it is because you're underground, but dawn hits immediately and it disappears. No.
No,
I'm not doing that. I could have.
Well, in fairness, if you did, I'd just pull out another one.
Yeah, because you'd have all 3 charges back. You could pull out 3 right away. Okay, so... as you gather your senses, because this was perhaps not the most enjoyable moment of your careers, you actually, for this particular location, you don't think you're going to rate it very high. It's not going to get any recommendations from you. You might post images from it, but they'll be very unflattering angles.
Does anyone need healing?
Yes.
Other than myself, does anyone need healing?
considering you and me took the same amount of damage, yes.
Right, well, you can also heal yourself, so dump some lay on hands on yourself. And with saying that to him, I cast Cure Wounds on myself at 2nd level.
Cast lay on hands on me.
And that's 8 plus what's my wisdom modifier? 10 hit points. Okay. I feel better now.
Okay. And as you're doing this, you notice another one of those satchels, or whatever it is. The, whoever was attaching these wasn't making any effort to try to hide them. It's more like they were just trying to make sure they were above the waterline.
I feel like these, there's so many of them, we could maybe use them.
Perhaps, but I mean, what danger would it present to the cavern?
Oh, a lot.
Yeah.
So much, but...
I think we're safest ignoring them.
By the way, that feeling that I told you about when you entered, that has not gone away. If anything, it has gotten stronger since you killed the water elemental.
This is not a good cavern.
No,
oh, I hate this place.
Let's see if we can leave here. Where can we exit?
It's well,
an awful lot of water. Not going to burn real easy. Although, never mind.
Where you are, you could continue to the north. You were going west, but this cavern turned northwards as you were going through it. To the south, there are some passages that you did not explore yet. There's two to the south of you, plus there's the one that you passed on the way here. So three different ways you could go south, and looks like two different ways you could go north.
So we got five exits total.
Yes. It's possible that some of those exits join up again. Right. You've seen several stalactites and stalagmite features in here where they'd been here so long they joined together into a pillar instead. But that's what you're seeing.
All right, so we got north or south. We can't go any further west. We were originally headed south. Well, why don't we try that? We've got three southwest exits. Or sorry, three south exits. So, I guess take southeast. I mean, at least make sure if it leads back that way towards the waterfall way. If it does, then we can come back and try the middle passage.
Okay. And actually, what I'm going to suggest is that's what we do next time, because we've been playing for 2 hours now. And while I still feel fresh enough that I could continue, I know that I won't feel that way when I'm editing this.
Probably true, yeah.